Boeing closes 2013 with record deliveries. ALPA wants new rest rules to cover all pilots. And there's a new winglet coming to Southwest. This is Aero News for Tuesday, January 7th, 2014. I'm Glenn Moyer. Boeing set a company record in 2013 for the most commercial airplanes delivered in a single year, with 648. The company's unfulfilled commercial orders stood at 5,080 at the end of the year, also a new Boeing record. In 2013, three programs set records for deliveries in a single year. The 737 program delivered 440 next-gen 737s, the 777 program delivered 98 airplanes, and the 787 program delivered 65 Dreamliners, now flying with 16 customers around the world. Boeing also booked 1,531 gross commercial orders in the year, a new company record, and 1,355 net commercial orders, the second largest number in company history. Later this year, Boeing plans to deliver its first 787-9 to launch customer New Zealand Air. The Airline Pilots Association International issued a statement regarding the implementation by the FAA and Department of Transportation of FAR 117, the new science-based flight time duty time regulation that went into effect on January 4th. The statement says, in part, quote, ALPA applauds the FAA and DOT for their continued efforts to ensure that the U.S. airline industry remains the safest in the world. The new science-based flight and duty time rules are a significant victory for safety and the traveling public here in the United States. Unfortunately, the regulations have one critical shortfall because they exclude cargo airline pilots. It's clear from the science that all airline pilots experience fatigue in the same ways, regardless of whether they are transporting passengers or cargo. Cargo airline pilots fly the same aircraft types over the same routes into and out of the same airports as passenger airline pilots. This is why ALPA supports House Resolution 182 and Senate Bill 1692, the Safe Skies Act, which would require that cargo pilots be included in these regulations in order to increase safety for the public. We urge every U.S. senator and representative to support this important aviation safety legislation for all who rely on air transportation. End quote. So that's pilots flying the same aircraft over the same routes into the same airports. What's the problem here? Makes sense to me. Southwest Airlines has ordered split Scimitar winglets from Aviation Partners Boeing, APB, for its Boeing Next Generation 737-800 aircraft. The unique feature of the split Scimitar winglet is that it uses the existing blended winglet structure, but adds new strengthened spars, aerodynamic Scimitar tips, and a large ventral strake. APB looks forward to receiving FAA certification for its split Scimitar winglets later this month. Southwest Airlines is the globally accepted model of how to successfully operate a low-cost airline. By upgrading Boeing next-gen 737-800s with the new split Scimitar winglets, APB estimates that Southwest will increase its annual fuel savings of approximately 3% per aircraft from blended winglets to approximately 5% per aircraft annually with the new split Scimitar winglet. Southwest's order of 85 split Scimitar winglets allows the airline to retrofit the 52 Boeing 737-800s currently in its fleet, in addition to the 33 that the airline expects to be delivered in 2014. Red Bull Air Race prepares to return in 2014 as the fastest motorsport series in the world. And alongside next season's new racing rules and regulations, fans will see the return of the world-renowned pylon air gates. For the 2014 season, the race pylons will be bigger and better than ever, retaining their iconic cone shape, but with marked safety improvements. The most obvious change for the new pylons is their overall height, over 82 feet. They'll stand 16 feet taller than those used in the 2010 Red Bull Air Race World Championship. These pylons must serve two fundamental purposes: to rip apart instantly on contact without impacting the pilot or plane, but also remain stationary in all weather conditions. The one-sided asymmetrical pylon cones will once again have a straight inner edge with an inclined outer edge, creating a perfect rectangular flight window between the air gates. But crucially, the change in pylon height has elevated the flight window by 16 feet, from about 33 feet to just under 50 feet from the ground, improving the overall flying safety of the racetrack. U.S. Marine Corps Base Cherry Point had announced on December 6th that they would not be able to put on their popular air show in 2014, but now the Public Affairs Office says that the show will go on in May of this year. Officials have given no reason for the reversal of the decision, according to a report from television station WCTI. When it announced the cancellation, base officials had said that it was due to major cuts in the base's budget for the coming year. The Havelock Chamber of Commerce says that the show generally attracts some 250,000 people over its three-day run. The show is planned for May 16th through 18th at the base. After the 2014 event, the next air show at Cherry Point will be scheduled in the spring of 2016. When Aero News continues, there are runways and there are, well, highways. Water and electricity don't mix. And taking a cash cow to market.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics now offers dealer-only repair services for Bendix King, Mode S transponders, radar altimeters, and HF systems. For expert repairs and quick turnarounds, count on Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, January 7th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The pilot of a Piper Navajo, described as a wealthy businessman, landed the airplane on a highway in central India last week after deteriorating weather made continuing the flight inadvisable. The highway landing is pretty remarkable in itself, but it was later learned that the pilot had been flying without a valid license, according to the Times of India. The pilot was not identified, but the paper reports that his license had expired in 2001, yet he had continued to fly. The Press Trust of India reports that the pilot had requested a landing on a nearby dam, but was denied due to security reasons, so he put the Navajo down on the highway instead. Closer to home, a pilot of a Piper PA-28 airplane made an emergency landing on the Major Deegan Expressway in the Bronx borough of New York on Saturday, and all three of the people on board the aircraft escaped with injuries described only as minor. The 50-year-old pilot had two women, ages 43 and 20, on board the aircraft when it went down. They had departed Danbury Airport in Connecticut for a sightseeing flight around the Statue of Liberty, according to the New York Daily News. On the return trip to the airport, the plane lost all power. Pilot Michael Schwartz landed the plane in the center lane of the northbound expressway, causing extensive damage to the aircraft, if the newspaper's photos are any indication, but fortunately not to the occupants. Gatwick airport officials have started looking into what caused an electrical system problem that in turn caused the power to go out in some portions of its north terminal on Christmas Eve. That in turn caused 62 departures and 59 arrivals to be canceled on December 24th, following heavy rain, strong winds, and flooding in the area. Buying Business Travel reports that it was the second such incident in recent months. Flooding at an electrical substation in October disrupted flights operating into and out of the South Terminal. Airport officials this week have begun what they describe as a quote-unquote full review of the disruption. China's first and only aircraft carrier returned to its home port in North China recently after completing a series of scientific tests and training programs in the South China Sea. In a news release, the Chinese Ministry of Defense cites a source with the Navy of China's People's Liberation Army, saying the tests have, quote, attained the anticipated objectives, end quote, during its 37-day voyage. And here's a bit of good news to start off the new year. U.S. airlines are likely to look to increase baggage and other add-on fees in the coming year. Some have already started to do so. Airlines collected over $6 billion in baggage and change fees in 2013, according to a report from the International Business Times. No wonder they'd want to increase them. United Continental Holdings did not wait for the first of the year to boost its fees. The carrier has already doubled its fees for oversized bags to $200 and upped its fee for passengers with three or more bags from $100 to $125 for each bag. The airline said through a spokesperson that the change was partly due to the infrastructure needed to handle oversized luggage. What, you got to hire bigger people? Delta collected about $1 billion in fees last year, with UAL in second at about $650 million. Spirit's fee structure, though, is a little bit different. Pay online when you book your ticket, the bag fee is $6. That's up from $5. But then it starts to get expensive. And if you gate check luggage on Spirit, they're going to ding you for $100 each bag. So let's see. A bag is worth only $6 if you book online. But if you check it at the gate, the cost goes to $100? Wow, that must be what they call new math. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks so much for listening. You're now cleared for departure.